My early poetry was execrable. As with most bad poets, I was unaware of this fact, secure in my arrogance that the very act of creating gave some worth to the worthless abortions I was spawning. My mother remained tolerant even as I left reeking little piles of doggerel lying around the house. She was indulgent of her only child even if he was as blithely incontinent as an unhousebroken llama. Don Balthazar never commented on my work, primarily, I assume, because I never showed him any of it. Don Balthazar thought that the venerable Dayton was a fraud, that Salmid Brevi and Robert Frost should have hanged themselves with their own entrails, that Wordsworth was a fool, and that anything less than Shakespeare's sonnets was a profanation of the language. I saw no reason to bother Don Balthazar with my verse, rife with budding genius, though I knew it to be. I published several of these little literary turds in the various hard-copy journals then in vogue in the various arcologies of the European houses, the amateur editors of these crude journals being as indulgent of my mother as she was of me. Occasionally, I would press Amalfi or one of my other playmates, less aristocratic than I, and thus with access to the datasphere or fatline transmitters, to uplink some of my verses to the Ring or to Mars, and thus to the burgeoning Farcaster colonies. They never replied. I assumed they were too busy. Belief in one's identity as a poet or writer prior to the acid test of publication is as naive and harmless as the youthful belief in one's immortality. And the inevitable disillusionment is just as painful. My mother died with old earth. About half the old families stayed during that last cataclysm. I was 20 years old then and had made my own romantic plans to die with the homeworld. Mother decided otherwise. What concerned her was not my premature demise. Like me, she was far too self-centered to think of someone else at a time like that, nor even the fact that the death of my DNA would mark the end of a line of aristocrats which stretched back to the Mayflower. No, what bothered Mother was that the family was going to die out in debt. Our last 100 years of extravagance, it seems, had been financed through massive loans from the Ring Bank and other discreet extraterrestrial institutions. Now that the continents of Earth were crashing under the impact of contraction, the great forests aflame, the oceans heaving and heating themselves into a lifeless soup, the very air transforming itself into something too hot and thick to break and too thin to plow, now the banks wanted their money back. I was collateral, or rather Mother's plan was. She liquidated all available assets some weeks before that phrase became a literal reality, deposited $250,000 in long-term accounts in the fleeing Ring Bank, and dispatched me on a trip to the Rifkin Atmospheric Protectorate on Heaven's Gate, a minor world circling the star Vega. Even then, that poisonous world had a Farcaster connection to Sol System, but I did not Farcast, nor was I a passenger on the single spin ship with Hawking Drive, which put into Heaven's Gate each standard year. No, Mother sent me to this back end of the Outback on a Phase 3 ram ship, slower than light, frozen with the cattle embryos and orange juice concentrate and feeder viruses on a trip that took 129 shipboard years, with an objective time debt of 167 standard years. Mother figured that the accrued interest on the long-term accounts would be enough to pay off our family debt and perhaps allow me to survive comfortably for a while. For the first and last time in her life, Mother figured wrong.